T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
We're going no huddle.
With the Midday Show, no huddle.
The best the NFL has to offer.
Let's go now, let's go! Set!
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth, Jason Longshore in for Andy and Randy here on the Midday Show. You can find us at 92.9 The Game. You can find Jason at Longshue. You can find me at Chris Goforth 1. And, of course, you can also listen at 929thegame.com and also on the radio.com app. So glad to have you hanging out with us. It is a Labor Day. Hope you got something good planned for later. If you got a good recipe for the grill, I'm going to be grilling out a little later on today, late this afternoon. So if you've got a good recipe for the grill, I'd like to shoot it to me at 929thegame and also at Chris Goforth 1. Guys, let's hop into our NFL no huddle. Jason, as we've already talked about, the NFL season starts on Thursday, 8:20 Thursday night. You can hear it here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Houston at Kansas City. Falcons play Sunday at home against the Seahawks. As we've already mentioned, there'll be no fans in the stands, but a 1 o'clock kickoff on Sunday for the Falcons. We've talked about some of the roster cuts that happened yesterday. You heard Caleb say a minute ago about Josh Rosen, who ended up, after being cut by the Dolphins, ends up signing on to a practice squad. I haven't heard anything, and Jason, if you have, feel free to jump in, but Mohamed Sanu was cut yesterday by the Patriots, and I haven't seen or heard anything about Mohamed Sanu landing any place yet. The former Falcon, who was traded during the season last year to the Patriots, had off-season ankle surgery, and I've pretty much like had the NFL Network on for about the last week, just every day, because they're doing the live stuff from training camp. And one of the NFL Network guys, and I apologize for not knowing who it was, but he said that he thought Mohamed Sanu looked plodding at training camp. And those were the words that he used, or the word that he used, plodding. Plodding is good if you're talking about a big physical fullback. Maybe if you're talking about an interior defensive lineman, but plotting is not a word you want to use to describe your wide receiver.
No, you're not going to get by in the NFL if you're being described as plotting. And it's a shame because, you know, when you heard about Sanu potentially being available, it's like, oh, maybe he comes back to Atlanta. You know, you hear about Treadwell not making the team. Well, maybe that's that number three receiver. But if he's not 100%, you can't take the chance right now.
A couple other guys that I did want to mention that were cut yesterday. Now, some of these guys may have been re-signed to practice squads. Lawrence Cager, the former Georgia Bulldog, cut yesterday by the Jets. Former Falcon Kenyon Barner, cut yesterday by the Ravens. Terry Godwin was cut yesterday by the Bucks. The Cowboys cut Ha-Ha Clinton Dix yesterday. Another former Bulldog, Elijah Holyfield, cut by the Eagles. Isaac Nauta, the tight end from Georgia, cut by the Lions yesterday. And Penny Hart, who had a tremendous career as a wide receiver at Georgia State, he was cut yesterday by the Seahawks as well. Maybe the biggest news of the weekend surrounding everybody finalizing their 53-man rosters were two big signings that happened yesterday. Well, one was a signing, one was an extension. Let's go with the extension first. Deshaun Watson gets paid 4 years and $156 million with the Houston Texans.
You got two quarterbacks that are really excited to see Deshaun Watson get paid outside of the Watson household in Lamar Jackson and Dak Prescott, because they're coming up on deals, and that market's pretty big right now. Those numbers for quarterbacks are pretty large, and if Prescott has the year that you would expect he'd have in Dallas with all the weapons he has, and I think Lamar Jackson could take Baltimore to the Super Bowl, you're talking about two guys that are going to get paid and paid over the long term.
You know what the first thing that popped into my head yesterday, Jason?
What's that?
When I saw this Deshaun Watson news, is somebody needs to go thank Doug Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Because for all of the doubt and all of the grief that Doug Williams had to take and endure as a black starting quarterback in the NFL, Doug Williams succeeded, and I fully believe that it was, you know, Doug Williams and Randall Cunningham, but I go with Doug Williams because he was legit the first. In my, you know, there's been other guys, I guess Vince, what was his name, Vince Evans, that bounced
Vince
around
Evans, right?
Some, and but Doug Williams was the guy, going back to when he was with the Buccaneers, and then he won a Super Bowl with the Redskins. But you take a look right now at the face of the NFL. It's three black quarterbacks: Pat Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson. And if you want, I mean, you can throw Dak Prescott into that conversation as well, because he's the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. And for the foreseeable future, I mean, Mahomes, Jackson, and Deshaun Watson, this is the future of the NFL right now.
The game's finally changed, and there's not this idea that, okay, you got to move that guy to running back or to defensive back because they can't be a quarterback at the next level. That was a joke then, and anybody who still tries to cling to that, it's a joke now. The game has, I think, opened up more. Maybe some of the mindsets have opened up, but the style of play has opened up as well, and these are the guys who are redefining the position of quarterback in the National Football League.
The Tennessee Titans signed Jadeveon Clowney 1 year, $15 million. The Titans feel like they've got to find a way to be able to improve their pass rush. So they go get Jadeveon Clowney. Guy only had three sacks last year, so they've got Vic Beasley now and Jadeveon Clowney on that defensive line. I think the Titans defensively, they're going to be an interesting team to watch going through this season, because one, can Derrick Henry continue to take the pounding and stay healthy that he has? That's number one. But number two, what does this defense look like? Because they won last year through a strong running game and great play defensively. They couldn't get to Patrick Mahomes in that AFC Championship game, couldn't get him on the ground. So that's the reason why they went out and tried to address the pass rush by getting Vic and getting Clowney, and we'll see how this Titans defense looks. But I think it's going to be interesting to follow this team through the season to see, are they for real, or was last year just a fluke?
Yeah, the moves with Clowney and Beasley, it feels like very high risk, high reward, though, potentially, if it goes well. Two guys who have had, you know, years where they've been what Tennessee needs. Are they going to be that now, though? That's the question. What did you think, though, about the idea that the Saints were trying to pull off the sign and trade with Clowney and basically trading or selling a draft pick or however they were going to try to pull this thing off to get Clowney down to New Orleans?
Yeah, I'm glad that he didn't go there. Yeah. You know, one,
personally,
as a Falcons fan,
I'm absolutely,
you know, the NFC South has been, you know, with all the changes that have occurred, all literally at every team in the South right now. You take a look at what's happened in Tampa, what's going on in Carolina. I don't know how good the Panthers are going to be, but certainly there's some change going on there. Emmanuel Sanders joins the Saints. I think, you know, talk about giving Drew Brees one more weapon there. You know, I understand what they were trying to do, clearly. I mean, you know, they were trying to work it to be able to be able to get the numbers to fit for them, and they were willing to give up a draft pick in order to be able to get Jadeveon Clowney in a Saints uniform. I don't know what's going on with the Saints right now. There seems to be some grumbling. I don't know how happy Alvin Kamara is down there
right,
with the stuff that's going on. It just I don't know. And again, it's all kind of reading between the lines. And just hearing some talk and reading some stuff. I think the Saints are the most talented team probably in the NFC South, top to bottom. But I don't know that. I don't know what that locker room's like right now. I don't know how. If you read what's being put out there about Kamara, he's not real happy with Saints management. So I don't know what it's going to be like in that locker room right now. And that may be their, the lack of a hashtag brotherhood. That may be the downfall of the Saints going through this year.
I think everybody in the South's got questions. They're different kinds of questions. I'm with you on the locker room in New Orleans. I mean, go back to some of the things that Drew Brees said, and they reportedly cleared the air and everything's fine, but will that continue to be the case? I don't know. How long, can Drew Brees do it for another year? We'll have to wait and see. The Tampa Bay hype when it comes to the Bucs and a 43-year-old quarterback, a tight end who was retired last season, and a running back who was released by Jacksonville. I mean, that's what everybody's buying into. Are they legit? Carolina, Bridgewater, can he do what he did in New Orleans? Atlanta's got questions too, but they're different kinds of questions. The South could be the most interesting division in the NFL this year.
What's your biggest question mark about the Falcons? I'll tell you mine in a second, but I want to hear yours first.
Offensive line, is it going to gel? Are you going to be able to run the ball like you hope to do, at least in managed carries with Todd Gurley? And are you going to be able to keep Matt Ryan upright? If you can't, I don't see a path to winning the division.
I would agree, and I think that's been shown in the past that when the Falcons get good offensive line play, when they can keep Matt Ryan upright, things typically go well for the Falcons. So, my other big question mark for them is Todd Gurley. How good, how effective can he be? Which version of Todd Gurley do we get? And, look, the guy is immensely talented. I just wonder how healthy he is right now and how much he can take. How much pounding can he take? That's the question that I've got about Todd Gurley as the Falcons roll into game number one against the Seahawks coming up Sunday that you can hear here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. By the way, one other guy, Adrian Peterson, 35 years old, signed with the Lions yesterday. Almost 900 yards rushing last year at the age of 34. Averaged 4 yards a carry. He goes to the Lions now at 35. Years old, so that's
desperation move for Detroit, in your opinion?
I don't know. Where are the Lions?
You've got a coach in Matt Patricia who has to be on the hot seat, right? And he's got to throw everything at the wall to keep his job. And going out to get an Adrian Peterson at this stage of his career feels like one of those moves to me.
I think you're right. From the standpoint that it's I don't know what constitutes success in Detroit. A playoff, a wild card spot. I don't think they can win that division, but maybe they can win maybe they can take one of the wild card spots and be able to slide in there. But
that would be success for them, I think. I'm with
you. That's not a great spot to be in right now in Detroit because again, I don't know that I tell you what Detroit has become. It's almost like they're the Atlanta Hawks of the NFL in the fact that, for years with the Hawks, we went through where they were, the Hawks were kind of that mid-team, right? They would be 10, 11, 12, 13, somewhere good enough to get into the playoffs, but never good enough to really seriously contend, but never bad enough to where you, up until recently, to where you just were able to pull the plug and go through a complete rebuild. And at some point in time, I think that's kind of, the Lions are kind of that 6-10, 7-9 sort of team every year. And at some point in time, you're just going to have to pull the plug on it. And I know they've tried to do the rebuild, and it's not working. It's not working. Dolphins have named Ryan Fitzpatrick as their starter. Tua will be the backup. Not a surprise there. I think Fitzgerald has kind of been the assumed starter since day one going throughout the summer. I think the idea has always been for Tua to be able to sit for a bit. All right, that's going to do it for our NFL No Huddle. Chris Whittingham, he is the play-by-play voice for Inter Miami, and he will join us next. We'll talk about Atlanta United and Inter Miami coming up on Wednesday. We'll preview that when we come back. These two teams, they just met last week, so the matchup's still pretty fresh, so we'll get to that when we return. Chris Whittingham joins us here on the Midday Show. Chris Goforth, Jason Longshore, we are in for Andy and Randy on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth, Jason Longshore, in for Andy and Randy here on this Labor Day. Glad to be hanging out with you. As we head out on the waitfor.com hotline, we welcome in Chris Whittingham. Chris is the play-by-play voice for Inter Miami. They'll face Atlanta United on Wednesday. Chris, these two teams, they just played each other last week. Can you take anything away from that match? This Miami team, it's I think, a little different than it was when these two teams met a week or so ago.
Absolutely, and I think we've seen from Inter Miami as well a real difference between how they play at home versus how they play away. I thought in the first 25 minutes of the game at Mercedes-Benz, Inter Miami were a bit cagey. They were trying to get a stranglehold in the game. And then as the game went on, they were able to develop a few more chances, had a few more chances to press high up the pitch. But I think what we saw last night from Inter Miami in their home match against Nashville SC that was delayed by about an hour and 20 minutes due to lightning, but Blaise Matuidi made his first start for Inter Miami, the former Juventus midfielder and a World Cup winner with France. And I think you saw just a completely different dynamic in that midfield. Matuidi was finding so much space and was helping the play move along. They created three really good chances in the first half hour against Nashville, unfortunately unable to put any of them away. To me, if we were to spot a real difference, you know, how I think the game played out last Wednesday versus how it'll play out this Wednesday, it's just the amount of openness that we'll see in the game, just because I think Miami will set up to open up and they desperately need a win from Wednesday night's match.
Hey, Chris, thanks for taking the time for us today. I wanted to ask you about Matuidi. We saw the impact on the field last night. How much of an impact do you think he has on this young roster for Miami?
I think you saw when he was out there that it wasn't just, I mean, I can only imagine he had maybe a training session that couldn't have been that intense because they just played on the Wednesday against Atlanta. So it's not like he's had a ton of time with these players, and yet you just saw how he opens up the one defensive midfielder on the night. It was Victor Ulloa. I imagine we'll see him play with Will Trapp as well, the U.S. international in holding midfield. And just the way that he allows that player to do his work kind of with more freedom of space and how to operate between the two center backs to keep the play going. You saw him, even without really knowing the full movements of the team, still able to direct Ben Sweat into good positions and work off of Rolfo Pizarro, who's their big money signing, and work off of Juan Agudelo. Just in general, the space that he creates, you can see as well, he wanted to grow in the game in terms of just exchanging passes with his teammates, even if it wasn't necessarily towards an end goal. It was just, let's get touches on it, let's develop our familiarity and our chemistry. I think you just see, and I'm sure you guys have seen it in Atlanta as well, when you've had some really great players like Miguel Almirón come through and players with real pedigree, that you can just tell when a player is a product of the world's game, of the game at the highest level. They just have an understanding of time and space that is on a completely different level, and it does just open things up for so many more attacking positions. You saw, it's no coincidence that he's playing in the left side of a three in central midfield, and down that left-hand side, Ben Sweat operated in acres of space for the full 90 minutes. Mm-hmm. He had such a better performance than we've seen him have in previous matches in Inter Miami shirt. And it just completely makes sense that Blaise Matuidi just makes everything make more sense. I think central midfield is the most important area to win in soccer matches, and I think Matuidi went a long way towards improving that area for Miami last night.
So let me ask you an either-or. Are you happy about how good this defense has been in the last three matches, only conceding one goal, or are you more worried about the lack of goals from the attack?
It's a great question, because I honestly hadn't even thought of it in terms of, well, they've only given up the one goal, because all we bang on about is how they haven't been scoring goals. They didn't score goals in their last three games. I would also caution against using that one goal as a reason to say that their defense has been really good. I think it's been good. I don't know if like one goal in three games good is how I'd characterize this defense, because even last night, Leandro González Pires, the former Atlanta United center back, when slotting into a challenge, got it absolutely wrong. Somehow the ball got stuck underneath him and allowed Daniel Lovitz, the Nashville FC left back, to come forward and be basically one-on-one with Luis Robles, and if not for really poor finishing, dragging his shot wide, it should have been a goal. They had another one from a set piece that was cleared off the line. Nashville did. They had their share of opportunities. So it wasn't a brilliant defensive performance, but still, those results are pretty good. The lack of goal scoring is just a real concern. Julian Carranza had one really good game against Orlando, but has really, that's been the one good performance that he's put in. This is a major money signing in MLS terms. They're looking towards buying Gonzalo Higuain. There's real consternation about the center forward play, but I'm also concerned about the chance creation behind them. I think it was a bit better last night, but still, I want to see more. I'm actually keeping the ball on the ground and using their play 1-2 combinations to be able to get in behind defenses. We haven't seen enough of that from Inter Miami. It's mostly been crosses from wide areas, and that's just a less effective way of scoring in the modern game. So, to me, it is very much about their inability to score goals right now, given how much money they poured into the attack.
Chris Whittingham, he is the play-by-play voice for Inter Miami, and he's with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You talk about the defense being good and the offense struggling. What's the identity of this Inter Miami squad right now?
Well, I would say that just based off of the full totality of how they played, I would say physicality is probably their most obvious identity. This is a group with a lot of South American players. That back line is almost, there's two Argentinians and a Colombian at the back and in midfield as well. They just know how to put in tackles, and I just think they're really difficult to play against because they'll commit fouls and they'll, you know, play really physically. That's really been their chief characteristic to date, is that they just make it difficult to play against, and they haven't lost a game by more than one goal. Diego Alonso is a manager who comes from Mexico, where you just look at your average league match and there are many more fouls in a Liga MX match than there is in an MLS match. It's just the nature of the style of play, and I think he's brought some of that to MLS. So I would just say they're difficult to play against, both in that they do defend pretty well. Andres Reyes, a 20-year-old Colombian center back, has been really good and a linchpin of their defense. We talked about Gonzalo Espides. Nicolas Figal has been a good signing as well from Argentina. So they've got good structure at the back, but I just think right now the chief thing that you can say is that they're difficult to play against from a physicality standpoint. You're going to know that you've played Inter Miami, particularly the day after. And we saw it in the match against Atlanta last Wednesday. I think there was a grand total of 39 fouls in the match, which is well above a league average game. So I think physicality is probably their standout identity right now.
Chris, the plan in Miami, just watching from afar, it seems like the plan is to go after a lot of big names. What do you think this club looks like a year from now?
It's a great question, because I think we were expecting those big names to have been here already. I think the world market has just kind of gone against them. You just don't know what you're going to get when you're an expansion club, and what is the crop of 32 to 34-year-old players in major European football? What is their desire to come to Major League Soccer at this stage of their careers? Is there big European clubs that still want to go for them, and can you kind of outdo them with an offer? And we see them go for Willian of Chelsea. We've seen them go for Mario Götze, the former Borussia Dortmund and World Cup winner with Germany. We saw them go for Edinson Cavani, the Uruguayan striker who's at PSG. Now I think he's still without a club, but he was apparently asking for ridiculous money. Now they're linked with Gonzalo Higuain, the striker for Juventus and formerly of Argentina as well. So I think they are going to try and go for these big names. I think they're basically going to have locked away two of their three DP spots. When you look at Pizarro and you look at Higuain, should he come in, Pellegrini might be able to shift it off of the DP slot. But I think the fact that you've given, the reports are that it'll be a two-year deal for Higuain. I do think they've given themselves some maneuverability to eventually go for a bigger name, perhaps even a younger name. But yeah, the idea for this club is that they're supposed to be on the level of the two LA clubs and the New York clubs, just because for whatever reason, international soccer stars love coming to Miami. And so it was just kind of thought that, well, Miami was going to attract big players. I imagine as they move towards their Miami stadium as opposed to their Fort Lauderdale stadium, there'll be an even bigger deal to get big-name players over the line. But for now, I think, you know, you talk about how this club will look in a year's time. I think it's much more about improving the near-term results. This team needs to win, because I don't think this club has captured the attention of South Florida in the way that they would have liked coming out of the gate. A lot of that has to do with COVID and not having home games. But also, I think when you saw the way that Atlanta came out of the box, not just in terms of results, but in terms of style of play and just how enthralling they were to watch. And that's why Atlanta United has captured the imagination of the fan base of Atlanta. And I think Miami would like to do the same. They can do the same based off the money that they've spent. They just have to get it right. And I think that's really their chief goal in the next year.
Do you think Diego Alonso is the manager to bring that style of play and capture the fan base?
I do want to be fair to him just because we haven't seen Diego Alonso with the full complement of players that perhaps he thought when he was going to come in. You've heard criticisms of his teams at Monterrey being very defensive, and I think you can kind of see, you know, what he's trying to do. And even when he talks after the game against Atlanta, which wasn't the most enthralling game, he said it was their best and most complete performance. I do think he analyzes aspects of the game that aren't necessarily what the fans want to see, you know, defensive transition and shape in defending when you're in your own half and set piece defending and things like that he clearly values. But I do want to give him the opportunity with time, with a regular run of games, which they haven't had until now, to be able to put together a team and have them attack, build out from the back and create chances on the ground. But to date, we haven't seen that, but I'm not necessarily ruling out after 9 games that he's going to be unable to do this job. I think he'll be given his chance, and we'll see if the style of play can build and evolve.
I wanted to ask you one more before we wrap up, Chris. Rodolfo Pizarro, how do you feel like he's adjusted to the style of play in MLS?
It's really interesting because, obviously, Liga MX is just as physical, if not more physical, than MLS is, so I don't think there was a physicality component for him to get used to. I do think there's a certain amount of, you know, your median player in Liga MX and in his Monterrey team was better. And so I do think that you do see occasionally frustrations with communication on runs and how the overall shape is going to look. To me, I've been impressed with a couple of things. One, his ability to retain the ball. And he doesn't look like a particularly great athlete, doesn't look like he's got great frontline speed, but still, he's able to get the beating of defenders. He's able to ride challenges from bigger players and then hold on to the ball. And also, the other thing that's really impressive, too, I know that's not what you paid big money for, but he does a ton of defensive work. There are moments where it's like, wait a second, he's playing as a left back right now. He's in a really deep defensive position and doing that hard running. You just want to see him more in the middle of it, right? Creating big chances, being on the end of big chances. He had a couple last night against Nashville, one that he took on the volley that he absolutely should have at least been hitting target with. And so I do think that he's settled in pretty nicely. I think Miami have about gotten what they've expected from him, but obviously you just want to see those goal contributions, and mostly you want to see those kind of break the lines, break the game kind of passes from him, and that to date is what we haven't seen really from anyone with Inter Miami. Lewis Morgan, probably from wide areas, has done the most of that, but just the key passes in the vital moments is what you want to see from Pizarro, and it just hasn't really come yet in full.
Chris Whittingham, he's the play-by-play voice of Inter Miami. Chris, thanks so much for the time today, man. Appreciate you giving us a little bit of time here on Labor Day.
Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Chris.
Chris Whittingham, Inter Miami play-by-play. Jason and I will talk a little bit more about this matchup with Atlanta United and Inter Miami coming up on Wednesday. We'll talk about that right after this. And then we'll get into the Kenneth Zone as well today. We'll do that before we finish up this hour as we head towards noon here on the Midday Show. Chris Goforth, Jason Longshore, we are in place of Andy and Randy on the Midday Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And, of course, we're always on the radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth, Jason Longshore in for Andy and Randy today. Glad to be hanging out with you on this Labor Day. We'll get to our big clip of the day coming up in a few minutes. Lunchtime Falcons report at 12:20. Harry Douglas, former Falcons wide receiver, part of the Falcons Radio Network. He will join us. We'll talk a little bit about what transpired with the Falcons over the weekend. Final 53-man roster is set. Practice squad is set. And now the Falcons begin game week preparation as they take on Russell Wilson and the Seahawks on Sunday. So more of that. Appreciate Chris Whittingham from Inter Miami, the play-by-play voice at Inter Miami, for hopping on with us and giving us a little bit of time. And Jason, I want to get your thoughts on a couple of things. First, about Miami, and Chris kind of mentioned this in our conversation. To me, all right, I think Miami has a chance to be a really, really strong market for MLS soccer. And I know he talked about the challenges of you know, trying to begin play there during a pandemic. Do you get the feeling that the fans in Miami have really been able to get a foothold with this team without a game day experience down there?
No, not yet. And it's tough for them because of two things. You're not really in Miami yet. You're playing in Fort Lauderdale at the club's facility. They built a stadium that will house their second team that'll be used for academy. And right now it's a temporary Major League Soccer stadium. When they can get into Miami, and it's been a big political issue in getting things done with the move into Miami proper, that will be a big important step. But even the intermediary step of just having fans in the building and just having fans be able to see this team up close, that will go a long way. So Miami is going to be a big team in this league. They are a great market. They're going to be the link to Latin America for so many players and fans. You're going to see a lot of Latin players come through, enter Miami. You have David Beckham's star power, part of the ownership group. They'll be a great credit to this league and help it grow. It's just been a crazy start for them in 2020.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about of all the years, right, to try to launch something. I mean, this has not been, it's not been a good year for anybody. Also, too, in regards to MLS, and I should have asked you about this earlier, and we didn't, we kind of went in a different direction, and I didn't get back to it, but with as disjointed as this schedule has been and the travel protocols that are in place, what kind of effect do you think this is having on the legs, not just for Atlanta United, but all across MLS?
It's having a huge effect around the league. I mean, you just look at some of the matches where you're seeing scoreless draws like you saw last night in D.C. against NYC. You're seeing it with Miami and Nashville. We've seen quite a few in the midweek games. It's tough to get going. And then you're also seeing the flip side where you're seeing some very lopsided scores, some surprising scores, like 3-0 for the Galaxy last night over LAFC, Minnesota winning 4-0 at home, Columbus winning 3-0. Now, all of those were home games. LAFC didn't have far to go, but the others, you're having that day of the game travel. It feels like teams are being a little cagier, a little more defensive than they normally would, because if the game starts to get away from them, it's hard to get it back because you're not really getting a lot of time to train. Your players are not fresh because of the amount of games they're playing. It's tough to come back right now. You don't want to give up that first goal.
So how much of a difference, like how good is Blaise? Is it Matuidi? Is that how you pronounce his last name?
Yeah, Matuidi. He's excellent. He's a player that you are going to wonder about over his time in Miami about his legs because he's an older player. He's played a lot of professional matches. But
he's been with Juventus the last couple of years, right?
Yep. He's won a ton of trophies at Juventus in Italy, at PSG before that, with the French national team. I mean, the guy's a winner. He's going to bring that mentality to Miami. But as Chris Whittingham mentioned in that last segment, and if you missed it, please go back on the radio.com app or go to the website and you can rewind and hear it. Because the effect that Matuidi had, even with like one training session on the team last night, now they didn't get a goal, but they looked more dangerous at times. And I think some players really benefited from his presence. He's going to give this team a lift in the way that they attack and the way that they defend. But is he going to be able to play 90 minutes, game in, game out, after the pounding that he's had in his career? We'll have to wait and see.
I got two more things for you real quick. How concerned should we be about the lack of offense we're seeing from Atlanta United going up against another team that is, as Chris just told us, Inter Miami struggling to score goals right now too. So the United's not alone in that, but how concerned should we be going into Wednesday?
You have to be. I mean, goals win games, and you're just not finding them very easily right now. I think, you know, it goes back to what we talked about to open the show. You've got to have an attack that's more brave and will risk more and take more chances. And that goes against what we were just saying about how right now it's being less risky. It's being more careful because if you concede first, it's very hard to have the legs, the energy to fight back in a game. That's very draining, and you don't want to give up that first goal. But this team is just not finding ways to create enough chances, and you have to commit more numbers forward. I think the defense is strong enough to take those risks.
Given the current state of Atlanta United and everything that's going on. I feel like this team is going to look much, much different, and I hope play much different next year. Is Ezekiel Barco, is he a part of Atlanta United in 2021?
There's a chance. I don't think it's a very large chance because his future's in Europe. And when that comes is very hard to predict because of the worldwide transfer market right now. I mean, the effects of the pandemic across the sports business world are pretty strong. And in the worldwide soccer market, you have some teams that would ordinarily be spending money right now that just can't. That just can't do it. So some of the teams that have been in for Ezekiel Barco in the past, they can't spend right now. Maybe they want to spend later. But there are some teams who are linked with Ezekiel Barco right now. There's rumors out of Spain about Sevilla, the Europa League champions, who are interested in Ezekiel Barco. Fiorentina has been a club that, according to Barco himself, reached out to his agent over the summer. That's a club that's investing in trying to become a stronger club in Italy right now. So there are some at the moment, and you never know. A deal could come together for this transfer window. It could also come together ahead of next season, which would be more preferable to Atlanta United because then you're not having another move in midseason. But if the offer comes, and it's a good one, Ezekiel Barco's going to want to go play in Europe. That's the goal for almost any player in the world, and he's no exception, and he has the ability to play at that level.
Jason Longshore, you hear him and Mike Conti on the Atlanta United broadcast here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. But anytime I get the opportunity to kind of pick Jason's brain a little bit about what's going on around Atlanta United, and especially right now where it just feels like, I mean, this franchise, Jason, and you've been there since day one, but this franchise, we've never been here before with Atlanta United. This is the first time that, even going back to year one when they were an expansion franchise, they didn't struggle.
2017 had some moments where maybe it was in that run of games before Mercedes-Benz Stadium opened where you were playing on the road a good bit. The schedule got disjointed with weird gaps in it because you backloaded the schedule to play as many home games at the Benz as possible. And there were questions. Now, the run of games when Mercedes-Benz Stadium opened erased all of those questions. But that was a time where it was, all right, the goals aren't coming as easily right now. It's looking a little disjointed. What can fix it? Getting home and playing a bunch of games in a row at home helped fix that. Right now, Atlanta's not going to get that boost from the fans that they got at that moment. So what can they do to simplify the game, to build something that is going to help them at the end of this year? I think this season is all about building for that last stretch run. Get into the playoffs and anything can happen. It's just one of those kinds of years.
Kenneth Roundtree is locked and loaded today with a big clip of the day. We'll get to that to kick off the noon hour. We'll also get to our lunchtime Falcons report. Harry Douglas joins us coming up at 12:20. All that and a lot more still to come. We're halfway home on the Midday Show on this Labor Day. Chris Goforth, Jason Longshore, glad to be with you today. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and always on the radio.com app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.